So we are back in lecture 8 page 12. But to understand page 12, we have to look one slide back. So go back, please go back to slide 11 in lecture 8. And there you see on the bottom the equation 6, which is the relation which defines whether there's a default or not. If the inequality holds, if the left-hand side is less than zero, then there is a default. And here, if you remember, the V0 was sort of the starting value of the geometric Brownian motions. And then the W's were independent Brownian motions. And now in 6, we're only looking at one point of time, and this is the point capital T. And so the time behavior has now vanished, and we only have WT0 and WTI. And if you remember the formula for the variance of the Wiener processes, then you know that the variance of these WTs are capital T. So WT0 has the same, and they are normally distributed. So WT0 has the same distribution as a square root of T times the standard normal distribution. And in the same way, the WTIs have the same distribution as the standard normal distribution multiplied by square root of capital T. So moving back to page 12. The first bullet point is what is done is just taken 6 and sort of simplified it by writing it with the first WT0 as a standard square root T times the standard normal variable Z, and the WTIs write them as a square root of capital T times the standard normal variable. So again, the inequality on bottom of page 11 has exactly the same probability as the event in 7, where Z is a standard normal variable and the YIs, the capital YIs, are standard normal variables, and all these are mutually independent. Now doing algebra, which I leave for you to do, so you could maybe in a while just stop the sound clip, then you can see that the equation 7 can be written as the inequality that yi is less than or equal to minus parentheses ci plus square root of z divided by square root of 1 minus rho. So, and here the ci is a fairly complicated expression. It depends on the V0i, the starting value of the Brownian motions, and all the parameters. This is given in equation 10. So if you want to do the algebra, you should stop the sound clip for a while. So repeating on page 13, we know now that with just this simple computation, we know that the event of a default, that WTI is less than DI, that obliged number I defaults, has the same probability, conditional probability, given z, the capital C, the standard normal variable, as the event that yi is less than or equal to ci plus square root of rho times z divided by square root of 1 minus rho. And here again, z and the yi's are iid, standard normals. The next step is now we define the default variables. We said that default occurs if 11 holds. This means, well, we say that the default occurs if VTI is less than DI and does not occur if it's greater than DI. And that has, these things have the same probability as the expression in 11. So on the second bullet point, we get that with these definitions, the probability that xi is equal to 1, that default happens for obligor I, is the same as the probability that vti is less than or equal to di given z. And by 11, this is the same as the conditional probability that yi is less than minus parenthesis ci plus square root of z divided by square root of 1 minus rho, conditional on c. And now, since the yi is standard normal, this conditional probability, it's just what you get if you sort of treat z as known, as a constant. So it's just the standard normal distribution function taken at the point to the right of the inequality sign. That is, it's a standard normal variable taken at the point minus ci plus rho z divided by square root of 1 minus rho. And a left parenthesis is missing here, I can see. So moving to page 14, we now simplify a bit more and assume a homogeneous portfolio that the obligors are behaving the same way, which means that we do the assumption that V0I equals V0, DI equals D, sigma, mu I equals mu, CI equals C for all values of I. So then we get a homogeneous static credit portfolio where we consider the time period up to time t. And we also get by equation 13 now, just repeating what we saw before, that the probability that xi given equals 1 given c is the standard normal distribution function taken at the point minus parenthesis c plus rho square root of rho z divided by square root of 1 minus rho. And here you should remember this is a conditional probability, so it's a random variable, and of course n, this n, the distribution function or the standard normal, is a function. But you plug in a random variable, the normal random variable z, and you get a random variable. So this is right just as it should. And of course, the difference from what we've seen before is that the i's have disappeared since we have a homogeneous portfolio. So this is just a mixed binomial model where you now, as usual, think of z as an economic background variable and p of z as the standard normal distribution function taken at the point minus parenthesis c plus square root of rho z divided by square root of 1 minus rho. This is 15. So now, finally, we have defined a mixed binomial model by this sort of fairly longish route, which motivates why this might be a very good model for defaults. And where C is depends in a complicated way of the parameters of the model. So on page 15, we say, well, now we use this P of Z in a mixed binomial model, and use 16 to define the model. And this is the mixed binomial model inspired by the Merton model, or the mixed binomial Merton model. And of course, I mean, somehow there's a lot of details and in the derivation of 16. But these have all now more or less gone away. So it's not really completely, I mean, you don't need the entire machinery of the Merton model to get the expression. So that's why it's inspired by and not the, is the right word, even if one often says it's a bit slower, a mixed binomial Merton model. Well, page 16 just recalls what we're after. So Lm is a total loss, and it's L times Nm, where Nm is the number of defaults. And the expression 17 then gives you the distribution function of the total loss. And then, as usual, we do the approximation that for large MIMS, for if you have big portfolios, then f of x, flm of x is approximately equal to f of parentheses x over lm. This is 18. You've seen it many times before, so that should be completely straightforward. And then, as before also, f of x is the probability that p of z is less than or equal to x. Now, on page 17 of lecture 8, we want to get an explicit expression of f of x, which means basically inverting the function little p. And this is done on page 17. I don't think I'll go through that. I'll leave that for you to check. So I'll make a very brief break and then continue talking. So on page 18, we use the expression sort of obtained by algebraic manipulation on page 17, and it says that f of x is the following function. It's the standard normal distribution function taken at the point, not random, 1 over square root of rho, and then a parenthesis, square root of 1 minus rho, and then the inverse of the standard normal distribution function taken at the point x. And then there is a constant c, this constant we dependent on everything in the Merton model. And the question is now, what is C? So if you want to really believe the model, you would fit the Merton model and you estimate all the parameters. But what this is not what's typically done. One instead does the computations, which are in the end, the rest of page 18, and continues on page 19, which give you the expression that C equals the inverse of the standard normal distribution function taken at the point P bar. And now you should remember what's said up on the equation above 22, and that is that the probability of xi equals 1 is a probability of xi equals 1 given c and the expectation of that. So this is the expectation of p of c, which is p bar. So here, as before, p bar is the average, the mean number of the average default probability. So this is the default probability. And then this gives you an expression, which was 22 for c. C was minus normal distribution to the inverse of normal distribution taken at p bar. And then we can forget about c. We can just use p bar, and then to define the model, we only have to decide what we want p bar to be, and rho, because rho is still left in the model. So if we think we know maybe from data or from experience that p bar is say 5%, then we get the C and we get the Merton model completely determined. So this gives you, and if we put this into the expression we had before for f of x, then we get the equation 23. So I let you look at that yourselves. So repeating, when we go to page 20 of lecture 8, then what's in the previous slide is repeated. That is that the distribution function of the total loss, Lm, is approximately equal to, for large m, to the expression in 24. And you can see this expression depends on rho, the amount of dependency between the obligers. It depends on L and M. The L was a loss fraction, M was a number of obligers in the portfolio, and on P bar, the default probability. So this is now a long story gotten cooked down to one equation and a mixed binomial model. So, and this mixed binomial model is the one which is inspired by the Merton framework, or is a mixed binomial Merton model. And 24 is a large probability approximation of it. And the last bullet point is that this is very much what's used in practice. So it's sort of recommended in used in the industry. Here maybe it's Moody's credit metric and so on. And it's also recommended in Basel III.